Time now for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Now, here's their host, Warren Franklin.
Welcome to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. We have another great show lined up today. You're always welcome to call Mariah or Spence at the Vetros Crawford Realty Group to discuss anything about real estate. Their number is 503-507-3666. So let's get the show started today. And today we're going to do Real Estate Vocabulary Part 2.
About five episodes back or so, we did a show on real estate vocabulary that we think everyone needs to know, whether you're a home buyer, seller, investor, or if you want to be any of those things anytime in the future. We believe that it is in your best interest to know these terms so that you know what's going on in your real estate transactions and can make the best decisions for yourself and your family real estate-wise as possible. It is your job, if you're wanting to get into real estate, in the real estate world in any way, to learn this language, because if you don't, you definitely will not get as far and things will just be a lot more complicated. So back to, like I said, we did a full show on this real estate vocabulary a few episodes back, and we had a handful of vocab words that we just didn't get to because
we like to talk.
We elaborated maybe a little too much on each point. But so today we are going to kind of just have a part two, and we're going to finish off with the rest of these words because we didn't want to leave these ones out because they are important as well. And like I said, these are things that you're going to want to know the definitions of and what they mean if you are wanting to buy, sell, or invest in real estate at any point in your life, which should be everyone, I believe.
Yeah. And it's always surprising when we are talking to clients. I was just on the phone with one recently, actually right before we walked in the studio today. And she, I thought, was a realtor the whole time. She was super good at vocabulary and just speaking words. And there's not many people that I'm talking to that I mistake as another broker. And luckily, I was able to ask her, well, because she's actually submitting an offer, and she was going kind of an old school route with a letter of intent, just writing out her offer on a letter to my seller. And I said, hey, can you actually put this on a manufactured home sales agreement, because it's a manufactured home
in this case? Oh, so you told her that because you thought she was the realtor.
Yeah, oh, I thought she was a realtor.
I didn't even know that. Because
she was writing the offer for her mother to purchase. And she was acting as if...
Where did she get that knowledge? Did you ask her?
Yeah. Well, she said she's done a couple deals that way for sell by owner, usually. But other than that, no. She's actually in the Netherlands right now. With her sister, and I'm like, okay, sounds good.
I didn't know we could go there.
I know,
that's
right?
Cool.
The phone call was really clear.
That's
too.
Awesome. So, that's awesome. All right, so I guess we can just start out and go
down.
Let's
jump on in.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So the first one, you've probably heard this before, but that is MLS, which stands for Multiple Listing Services.
Why do we need this, Mariah?
Well, it's very important because a lot of people will try to sell their home on their own. And when they do that, it's not going to be on the multiple listing services. It's just going to be on Zillow and maybe Craigslist. And so basically the MLS is where all of the agents who have buyers go to look for homes for their buyers.
And so, right now, sorry to cut you off.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay, right now there's over 2,900 agents out there.
Mm-hmm. In our area.
Yeah. And historically, we're in the ultimate high with buyers.
Yeah.
There's so many buyers out there. And most buyers, if they're serious, they are represented by an agent. So someone is giving them the keys to allow a showing to happen, because only realtors, licensed professional realtors, are allowed access with this multiple listing service, because we all have WVMLS lockbox keys, Supra keys. That's to protect our sellers. So not everybody can just rummage and roam through a home, right? They have to have representation through a realtor. And that's why it's really important. And it's just a backing for any listing. Rather than being for sale by owner, it's kind of like you never know who you get. When you are represented by a realtor, you do have part and access to the WVMLS, which is going to either help you sell a home or purchase a home, because most of these places will be advertised there.
Right. So yeah, basically, if it's not on this MLS, multiple listing services, then it's likely going to not be seen by quite a few buyers who should probably be seeing it and might be interested in it. And every area has their own multiple listing services. So Just a little fun fact.
You know, one of the things that I think about is, and I may have mentioned it in another program, is that you have to put it in the right price level. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you can only list it in one price level, right?
Right.
So if you price it too high or too low, you may not be getting the right buyers looking for your place. So having the right real estate agent really makes a big difference there, I think.
You're exactly Absolutely. Right. And that actually is going to lead us to our next vocabulary word, yeah. CMA.
Yeah, you didn't even know.
So I'm pretty good here.
You didn't even know. Segue right into that. Yeah.
And it's perfect.
And what does
though.
That stand for?
It's comparative market analysis. This is super important. A lot of brokers out there, they're going to ask you, hey, would you like a free CMA? They should be free. You should probably never have to pay for one. I've never had anybody pay
me
for one.
I'm going to charge you for that.
But this is simply just to let you know what your home is worth in today's market mm-hmm. based off the nearby recent sales in your area. I usually go no bigger than a half a mile radius around the homes when I'm selecting CMAs because as you and I know, a lot of neighborhoods are different. I could walk across the street in some areas.
Yeah.
What just happened? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's so
like,
different.
It's like a different life over on the street next to you. So mm-hmm. You do want to be relevant. You do need to be educated on how to perform these and select comparative homes because if you're just selecting any home that's just, say, a half mile away, well, you got one story, two story. Some homes have a pool. Some homes only have a quarter of an acre lot. Some homes only have 0.8, you know, or 0.8. of an acre of a lot. And so you've really got to do this wisely because it's ultimately going to come up with the sales price of a home. And you really want to lead these sellers to believe that this is what their home can truly sell for rather than overprice their home, let it be a sitting duck, and just give them misinformation because that's really cruel in my eyes.
All right. Yeah. So my question is, you can go to Zillow and a couple other websites and you can actually see what they think your house is worth. What is the credibility for all of that?
Right. Well, the thing with Zillow is, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was just going to say, I feel like everyone kind of, especially right now since prices have gone up, everyone seems to have like, in the back of their mind, like they kind of know or think they know what their home's worth right now because it's kind of fun to see like, oh, my home's worth this now. I bought it for this much. But the thing with the Zestimate is, and with all of the online automated market analysis type things, is that they really just don't know the condition of your home and they don't know the condition of the homes that you're comparing it to. So that can make a really huge difference. They know the criteria, like the square footage and bedrooms, bathrooms, but that's only speaks for so much.
Yeah, it's public knowledge.
They don't know a lot, and so that could make a huge difference. And another reason why it's so important to have a professional do a real in-depth market analysis, and like Spencer was saying, to be aware of the side of town because that really changes everything. I had a client or a past client recently who we sold her home a couple years back, and she was asking me what I think it was worth right now, and I was saying maybe around 380 or so, and she was saying, well, my friend's house sold for about 400,000 and similar square footage and everything to mine. But what she didn't realize was that even though they were both in Northeast Salem, the exact neighborhood that she was in sells for a lot more than the neighborhood her friend's home in even though they're the same side of town. So having a professional do that is super important.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. I want to remind you, you can always get in touch with Mariah and Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group by calling 503-507-3666. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. Hey, let's continue our conversation about real estate vocabulary, part two.
Our next vocab word that you really need to know if you are thinking about buying, selling, or investing in real estate at any point is a rent back, which rent back is something that we are seeing quite a bit of in this market right now. What are some things you have to say?
Well,
about
I
that?
Could use it as like a negotiating tool as well. Allow rent back if you need more time in the home, but it's pretty self-explanatory. So a home generally closes, you can fund it. But say the seller they haven't found a replacement property yet, or they need a few extra weeks or days to stay. So you would prorate and you'd settle with an amount owed and you would actually pay rent to the new owner, that buyer that just purchased your home. So it's kind of like the terms are reversed now. Rather than getting paid, you're actually paying the new owner. But sometimes if that's a situation you're in, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, you are treated as a renter. There's a standard kind of little rental agreement in the zip forms that us brokers get to use with that. And that just backs everybody when it comes to insurance purposes as well. So not a bad option.
I have a question about that for you, Spencer, because I've heard from some buyers I was working with on a transaction recently, we actually ended up having a super long closing because they didn't want to do the rent back because they felt uncomfortable, being the owners of the home, but then renting it back to the sellers. They felt like it was a little, I don't know, sketchy.
Well, yeah, some people look at it as a risk because sometimes renters, they don't want to leave or they keep making extensions. Well, what if you just purchase a home and you really want to get into it? And what if you're in a situation where you got a deadline now and you got to get into your home? And then also you got to worry about the condition left after people rent properties. Sometimes it's not the best and you just have to make an educated decision on that. Now, I had a transaction back, we're going 11 months ago in Corvallis, beautiful home, but unfortunately the loan just wouldn't close in a timely manner. It was an FHA loan and we negotiated a rent back and we did a 2-month rent back.
Whoa.
And, yeah, it was a long time. And when you get to those type of deadlines and timeframes, there does become risk involved, but my seller, he made it out pretty well because ultimately he got paid and he made a couple extra grand due to that rent back. So there's a little bit more money into it as well if you allow a buyer to move in early.
Right.
Too. So this isn't just for the sellers. Buyers can get in the home before it closes. There's more risk to that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So the next one is proof of funds, which is kind of self-explanatory. Say you're a cash buyer and you make an offer on a home. Well, instead of a pre-qualification letter, which is what you would provide to show that you're serious and you're qualified, your lender's going to give you the loan. Instead of showing that, you would need to show a proof of funds from your bank, just showing that you do in fact have the cash to purchase the home. Otherwise, the seller would be taking a big risk.
So my question on that is, do those funds have to be frozen then? Or, what's to make the proof of funds? And then all of a sudden you spend it all and the money isn't there anyway. So is there some kind of guarantee with this proof of funds that the money's still going
to
be there?
Lending wise, there's usually restrictions. It needs to be an account, I believe, either 30 to 60 days. You might want to check with your lender about that one. Yeah. But if it's a cash buyer, no, I guess.
I've never heard of,
because if they're going to be purchasing, then... They need to have the funds to purchase.
You have to hope
better just know they don't. Yeah, yeah, can't buy something that amount.
Yeah, that would be crazy, wouldn't it?
It would be pretty crazy.
It results in a fail sale. That wouldn't be good for the seller nor us.
Yeah. So the next one is property disclosures.
This is a form that basically discloses. Yeah. facts and known things about the property that you might know that nobody else would.
Well, that's a great way to explain it.
Yeah, there's about 7 pages. Okay, this is the one form that I love to do because I get to go face to face again with my seller. I usually bring it with me after we get all the listing forms done to list your property. I just take care of it right then and there. But it's 7 pages and it has a million questions on it.
What kind of things
are there any tax liens on your property? Are there any special assessments due to the city on your property? Is there any hidden oil fields on your property? How's the electrical? How's the plumbing? Do you know of any roof leaks? Have you ever replaced your septic or well? Those type of things.
Okay.
And it's just kind of going over every scenario and situation. And the reason these questions are on this form ultimately is because at one point, I'm assuming someone didn't disclose these items to the buyer and there was some type of lawsuit done. So this form is always being updated for the most part with new things yearly. And We're up to 7 pages on it now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
And a lot of them, though, because a question that we get asked a lot from home sellers is, what if we don't know the question? Because a lot of times the home was built, say the home was built 50 years ago and they've only lived there for a couple years, so they don't know a lot of the answers to the questions. A lot of them are going to be unknown, and that's okay as long as you obviously disclose what you
know. And you're honest about it.
Yes, yeah. They have to be honest. Yep.
What's a backup offer?
Well, that is when your offer is the second best, or I guess the seller's second choice, and you're in backup position, which means that if something fell through, which we're actually seeing a little bit more of, I'm definitely noticing more homes that were under contract having sale fails recently, just a little bit more. But basically, if you're in the backup position, you would then be the one who gets first choice at buying the home if something ended up.
You get a slide on in there. Yep. Yeah, and on most of our listings, the deal isn't done until I have a secondary backup offer, for me at least, because I want to put my sellers in the best position every time. And so what if during the inspection something happens, or just for whatever reason people get cold feet, which they do. I want to make sure I have a secondary backup offer sliding right in there, and then we resume the transaction as if it had never fell apart. And that's what a good listing agent should be doing for you.
Contingency is our next one. This is basically saying only if. So like I will agree to purchase your home only if this happens. And just to give an easy example, there's a lot of different things that can be a contingency on a home sale, but the most common one, of course, is contingent on the buyer's current home selling. So the buyer agrees to purchase your property on Main Street only if their home in Salem closes first that they're selling.
And like Mariah said, there could literally be a contingency for anything. I've had deals say contingent upon final walkthrough. So we could, and if...
Which you always get the final walkthrough. Exactly. And you don't have to close until that happens if they're...
I'm not a fan of that verbiage.
No, I don't.
Because that just allows the ultimate back out for your buyer.
Yeah.
And if I'm representing my seller, that's putting us in a pretty vulnerable position. So there's usually some verbiage change to that.
Yeah.
But there could be a contingency just through anything. And that was a pretty good example.
So you can set any parameters you want as a buyer or seller?
Basically, another one that you see sometimes is contingent on buyer viewing the home, because they haven't seen the home yet, which I would advise any seller not to accept that, because if they haven't seen the inside, there's a good chance they won't like it. So,
yeah. All right, great. Let's take a break. You're listening to Real Estate with Mariah Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. We'll be back with more right after this.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can call them at 503-507-3666. And we still have a few more real estate vocabulary items we want to talk about, right?
Yeah. So dual agency, when I'm asked this, there's usually a disclosure I get to bring on all my listing appointments that kind of goes over this as well. Reason being, I like to talk about this is because of how awesome Berkshire Hathaway's office is. We have over 85 agents in our office that I actually get to share all my listings with weekly on a Tuesday sales meeting. In some cases, we do get two Berkshire Hathaway agents on the same deal to close it. So meaning another agent in our office brings the buyer and writes us a deal to get this home purchased and closed for our sellers. Some people, they aren't a fan because of whatever, they question ethical reasons. They think that maybe I'm providing information about a listing to another fellow agent in my own office. But no, that is not the case. Dual agency is just saying you're comfortable working with another agent in my same office, which is Berkshire Hathaway Home Services.
All right, so let me ask you that. What about you handling both sides of it? Can you individually handle both sides of the sale?
You can. And I have to pick and choose when to do that. Sometimes the best way to do it is to hand it off to another agent that you trust, because when you're working both sides, you have an ethical question to ask yourself, because sometimes when you're dealing with a $600,000 home, there is some negotiations to do, and there is some things you know the seller will and won't do, and then you got a buyer to represent as well. Well, how are you going to handle that?
Right.
You know,
you really have to be careful, because it can be tricky having representing both sides of the party. It can be done ethically, but you have to be really careful. And
you open yourself up to a lot of problems, though.
Yeah,
you do.
You got to be careful. Yeah.
You do. Mm-hmm. And one thing that is cool, though, is I have my own clients for the most part, and Mariah has her own clients.
Yeah.
And so if a situation like that does ever come to exist, sometimes I just give it to Mariah and let her present an offer to me, and we just leave it at that relationship. But sometimes I have passed on clients to other brokers, usually in my same office, that I really think will do a great job for the client as well.
Home warranty is the next word, and that is, so say this is something you can ask for as a home buyer in the offer. If you want, it's generally what I see is around $450 or so for a year for a basic home warranty package. This is just like to give you a little peace of mind. If something stops working or goes out in the home during the first year of living there, you can call on your home warranty and they will take care of it for you with that small deductible.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, if I don't think we've ever touched on this, is Berkshire Hathaway's office with every listing comes with a home warranty for free. Sellers do not have to pay to have a home warranty during the listing time on the contract, which has actually saved a lot of sellers money, time, and effort, especially in inspections. That's usually when it comes in handy, is when an inspector says something and, hey, guess what? It's covered under the home warranty. You paid your $70 deductible. It might even be $100, excuse me now.
Right.
But it's covered and it's dealt with professionally.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge perk. Okay, for sale by owner, we've talked about this, so I don't really feel like we really need to go in depth. That's just someone who's trying to sell their home on their own without legal representation.
And then expired listings. This is something that I really love to do. Right now, it's kind of hard to find. There's not too many expired listings
out there. Most listings are not expiring.
What I have seen a couple foreclosures, not many. Laws have changed, landlord-tenant acts. It's been hard, though, especially for people that have created debt over this last 2 years. I just dealt with a seller in a situation out here in Salem. Luckily, we were able to bring cash to close in escrow, and we're actually getting that guy closed this week. But it's been a process because there are some loopholes we got to take and we got to go through. So I did want to, to end the show. Mariah's going to talk after me, but I want to give a shout out to Alec and Tori Rainey. They're really good friends of ours, and they're getting married here in the next couple of weeks. So I did want to give them a shout out and just let them know we are very, very proud of them. And thank you for your hospitality over this last weekend. My face got very sunburnt on our Oregon coast, and I'm going to hand it on to Mariah now.
All right, so to wrap the show up this week, thank you so much for listening, and welcome. If you're a new listener, we're glad that you're here listening and hanging out with us today. Where can viewers find us online? If you are listening on the radio, head to our YouTube channel, Real Estate with Mariah and Spence, or search for us where you listen to podcasts, and you can listen to previous episodes, and we'll see you guys next week.
That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. You can hear their show every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. You can contact Mariah and Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group at 503-507-3666. That's 503-507-3666.
You've been listening to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence right here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.